This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who loves to know the story behind a book. Coming to you from the very, very, very cold, glorious Clearwater, Florida. We're not used to this, and I am so happy that I have in the studio today a guest who has written a book about, well, about her job. And this is something I have been telling all of you. There is a book in everyone, and if you, whatever you are doing, if you want to sort of just jump to the top of your profession, and it doesn't matter what you are, I was just telling her that, you know, she's a lawyer, of course, lawyers have lots of stories to write, so I'm very happy that she's here, and her name is Joran, I've got it right, Joran Jenkins, right, yes, Joran?
You got it.
Okay. Well, I was asking her how that's an unusual name, like Patsy with a Z is unusual. Joran, how did you get this name?
We had to practice pronouncing it a few times,
that's
didn't
right.
we? It's a combination of Joseph and Catherine, and I don't know any Joseph or Catherine.
That's
My
right.
parents didn't know. They made it up.
They just liked it. Isn't that nice? I like the name. Well, Joran has written, she's written 9 books, and as a... as I said, if you are a medical secretary and you write a book, you become the most well-known medical secretary. And if you're an insurance salesman, and as a matter of fact, remember I did talk to an insurance salesman who he wrote a book. He never thought he could write a book. He wrote it. And the next thing he knew, although he's just an ordinary insurance salesman, that's how he described himself. Next thing you know, he was invited to insurance conventions to be a speaker.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah,
that?
Absolutely. It's funny because, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, that's a lot of what I talk about in this last book that I wrote, about how important it is to publish. And I told you, you know, my mother has always gone around saying, oh, she's going to be an author. She's going to be a novelist. And I've said for years, I don't have a book in me, Mom. Leave it alone. Stop. And now I've got 9 books out there.
So, you know, and we didn't hit the novel yet.
No, but we did not.
But I'm sure that, you know,
short
give her
stories,
time.
Short
the
stories.
Short stories. So yeah. that's the next step. And the book that you were talking about is From Rookie to Rainmaker.
Right.
Is that
right?
That's the latest book, and it's How to Grow Your Law Business.
Yep.
And yep. that's an important
all
thing.
About the, it's all about the new marketing that lawyers need. Lawyers, quite frankly, and all professionals who sell their services. I mean, that book is easily transferable to doctors and, as you say, nurses and CPAs, anybody who sells their services. I talk about the 5 P's, and one of those P's is publish. Get your name out there by publishing. The minute that you start writing down your thoughts, you make yourself an expert. You do your homework, and people know that.
That's true. You know, you could be a builder. And if you feel that you know more about building than your competitors, and you've learned lessons over the years, you've been a builder for 10 years, 12 years, and you say, well, I could help somebody.
Right.
And that's the time to sit down and write a book.
Right. And start with the idea that you can tell stories about the buildings you've built. What was it about that one building that was so difficult, and how did you solve that problem? And how did the owner of the building feel about it afterwards? I mean, those stories are wonderful.
Now, your first book was about collaborative divorce because...
Well, actually, my first book was a very boring book called... Florida Civil Motions Practice.
Oh, yeah.
That was years ago.
That doesn't sound too exciting.
But my second book, we didn't talk about this earlier, my second book was a cookbook. You were right. You said, write a cookbook, write a this, write a that. And I wrote a cookbook for my daughter, and it turned out, it started out as just a collection of the family recipes. And then I went to her friends and I said, when she comes over and does a sleepover with you, what does your mom fix? What's special? And I ended up with all those recipes too. And then I started putting in photos and stories about her growing up. And I ended up with a 250-page book.
You see, that's what it takes. And it is something. It's addictive, actually. Once you start writing, you just why I call this joy on paper is there is something special when you actually write it, and then you sit back, or you come back after a little while, and you say, "Wow, I wrote that. I mean, I really, really wrote that."
And sometimes we don't even, as we discussed, we don't even recognize, wow, I put that string of sentences together, and that's amazing. That's a very unique, intellectual, smart, whatever concept. It reads so nicely. I did that? Yeah, yeah.
And even for somebody who's Yale educated, you know, right?
Yeah.
It's there. You have the ability, and it just takes that effort to sit down and start writing. And so it's pretty exciting.
I think sometimes people sit down and don't realize that they're going to write a book.
Yeah.
They think, I'm going to write an email, or I'm going to write a story, or I'm going to write a letter. And then they start thinking more about, well, what could I do with this? And then, I mean, that's what happened to me. I just was writing down some of the stories that I had experienced in court, and then I started collecting them together, and next thing I knew, I had a book.
So, you know, when I talk to people and talk to writers groups, I always say that write something that will just make you feel good. When you first start writing, like a cookbook, you're there. It's something that means something really to you, and there are so many people who have these wonderful stories about their families. And I so admire people who save these stories, because as somebody who's writing historical fiction myself, I love that I can go back to the diaries in 1700s and 1800s, and so many by British people who they were just ordinary people who lived in different countries because the sun never set on England. And so they would write these diaries, they'd write these little stories, and now when you go back, you say, wow, that makes that whole era come alive.
Oh, it's so true.
And I feel so much that if people don't save their stories, then they're lost forever. And if you know, all of us had relatives who came from somewhere, they came to Ellis Island, they went somewhere, and to preserve these stories is wonderful, isn't it?
And Patsy, you know, in the old days, and I'm speaking really seriously, in the old days, people used to write letters.
Yeah.
And now we have books that are the letters from one person to another. And
I love
letters
those
back.
Books.
But we're not writing letters anymore. So how are those books going to happen? They're going to happen if we keep memoirs, if we do it that way. So we really should.
Yes, because tweets just don't cut it. Especially,
not the same.
You know, and LOLs and all that. You know, it's just not quite the same. And it's so wonderful to read, like, the love letters.
The love letters, that's right.
As a matter of fact, in February, I'm going to do a whole program about books with love letters, because they are so, they mean so much.
They're touching.
And they're touching, and they make the time period, whenever they were written, often, you know, the Victorian, during Victorian times, or the ones from World War II, where people forget, you know, the younger generation forget that during World War II, men and women were separated for years.
Yep.
I mean, they went overseas, and it wasn't like here now, you know, people go to Iraq, they go to Afghanistan, but they're back more or less in 6 months, or at least they can make a trip back. There it was 3-4 years.
Right.
And these letters were so important to them.
Yep.
So I'm very happy always to promote authors who have written books.
Yeah.
Whether it's a novel, a romance, a cookbook, or a book about business, because they're helpful. And you know, in this case, of course, you have another book called From Lawyer to Law Firm: How to Manage a Successful Law Business. All of these books are useful, and I'm sure that as we talked about, in this day and age, people have to approach business differently. It's not the same as it was before. People are looking; they look online, they look up references, and when they see that you've written a book and it's very well done, it really makes a difference to how they view you as a professional.
That's true.
and it gives you opportunities. Also, I think, as I mentioned, the insurance salesman, he had never expected to be a keynote speaker at a convention.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He thought he was just an ordinary guy just trying to help people.
Right.
And I'm sure that now you get invited to...
Well, and that's another one of the, it's funny, that's another one of the five P's of effective marketing, which I talk about in my last book, present. So it's pitch, publish, present, profile, and partner. And what happens is they feed each other. But pitch is critical. You have to create your unique pitch. What is it that makes you, in my case, a unique lawyer, someone who really cares, is passionate about what they do, and how do you explain that to people on an elevator, for example, elevator pitch, you've heard of that. I used to say, I'm a lawyer. People go, oh, that's nice. Yeah. And they kind of turn off. But now I say, I help people divorce each other without destroying their families, and they want to know more. And now I'm presenting. I'm not just pitching, but I'm explaining who I am, what I do, why I do it, how I help people, what's important to me. And that's fun.
And we should mention, when she's talking like this and she's doing a beautiful job, it brings to mind a mutual friend, Joe Yesbeck.
Yes.
Who is a master
presenter
of the five P's,
yeah,
because
yeah.
that's what he does. And he's been on the program, and he's always delightful, and he so encourages writers to learn about this system of, because one of the things, and so many independent writers, you know, novelists and authors who have written, you know, kids' books, they have so much fun in the writing process. They love the writing.
Right.
But the actually going out there and having to sell themselves is so difficult.
Yeah.
It's so difficult for
it's
them.
It's funny. I'm thinking of Madeleine L'Engle, because I'm reading her last book right now as we speak. And she wrote, I don't know when she wrote A Wrinkle in Time. I think it was probably around 66, 67, because I remember reading it when I was 10. And she wrote her last book in 89, and hardly anybody knew who she was, because she didn't promote herself. It was all the book. It was all the book. And now we have A Wrinkle in Time, the movie, coming out, which, you know, 50, 60 years later.
Yeah.
But you're so right. Authors, they need to get out. They need to be on your show. They need to be talking about the wonder of writing and how fabulous it is to be able to communicate that way.
And to express that joy, as I always say, find the joy and share it. Get out there and talk and be. It's so important that you just be part of the whole community of readers,
yeah,
and reaching them. And right now, I think I'm just getting a call. I mentioned that I'm getting a call from a really wonderful author who is in. Is she on? Okay. Well, I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Allison Wynn Scotch. Hi, Allison.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm so happy to have you on, because your new book, well, I've had it in my head for a while now. It's called Between Me and You. And
yes.
I read the book, and then I got the Audible version.
Oh, I haven't listened to the whole thing yet.
You have to. It is. I love it. Well,
thank you. I love Julia Whelan. She narrated my last book, and I've heard great things about Tim Campbell.
Well, she's got a great voice. I always love everything that she does. And
yes.
You know, this book was just. It's a perfect book for an Audible, because let's tell everybody about Between Me and You. The wonderful thing about this is it's a Hollywood drama, you know, about ambition and fame and love and all of that. And it's told from the perspective of two people.
Yes.
And it works so beautifully on Audible to have the man and the woman. So tell us the story, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Sure. It's really the story of a long-term relationship. I mean, in this case, they're married, but just a long-term couple. And it is set in Hollywood, but I my intention was just to explore the nuances that couples go through and all the changing factors that come up when you've been together for many years. So Ben, who is the husband, tells their story backwards. So you meet him, it's no spoiler to say the first scene that you meet them is after they have separated. And then Tatum tells the story forward. So you meet her in the very first scene when they first meet. And the chapters go back and forth between the two of them, and Ben rewinds the years and she moves the years forward, and then you pick up in present day.
I love this format. It's a tricky format, and you really pulled it off.
Thank you. It was horrible to write, but I stuck with it.
Well, I want to tell you, I have in the studio with me another author. Her name is Joran Jenkins.
Hi,
nice to meet you.
You as well.
And Joran is a lawyer, and she's written 9 books now. But one of her books is about collaborative divorce, and so what I
we were talking about you.
So we were talking.
That's so funny.
We were talking about you. We were talking about Hollywood and about the two characters in this book. And I want to compliment you so much on the character of Ben.
Thank you.
You know, Tatum, as a romance, so often the male character just doesn't come off that good. You know, I mean,
right.
We're talking sometimes like I in the past 6 months, I think I've had maybe a dozen books, romance where essentially the guy is pond scum, you know?
Right.
and that gets pretty boring. So that's right. Why I was so happy with Ben. I think you did a great job with him.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate that. You know, it's interesting. Not everybody loves him. And I just, when I write, I mean, I strive to write realistic people who make mistakes. And Ben does. But Tatum does too. And, you know, some people feel like his mistakes were more egregious than hers. But I always felt like, without getting into all, you know, everything that goes wrong for them, he made some really human mistakes in terms of trying to find comfort and solace and make sense of everything that had gone wrong for him. And so I wanted it to show that they both had strengths and weaknesses, and as humans do in relationships. So I really appreciate that. That genuinely means a lot. I mean, I really liked him, but, you know, everybody brings their own subjective lens to any sort of read. So, some people will like him and some people won't.
But he has redeeming qualities in that he does want to strive to be better. He wants to understand what life is about and how you can make it better. So
100%. And I think, I mean, for me personally, that's all you can ask for in a partner. So, I mean, maybe you can ask for more, but that is certainly something that matters when you are trying to make reparations to someone or something, that your heart is in the right place. And I always felt like, barring a few times when Ben really screwed up, his heart was in the right place.
Exactly. Now, tell us about the research that you did. I understand that you got to talk to some A-listers about relationships in Hollywood. You know, I've written 3 screenplays, and they were all, you know, optioned in Hollywood.
Congratulations.
Now, the reason I am on the West Coast of Florida instead of the West Coast of California is that my nerves could never handle Hollywood. It's just too much. It was too...
Right.
Tell us about what you discovered.
Well, I'm not really... I do live in L.A., but I would say that my world is sort of 1 degree removed from Hollywood, in that, you know, writing books, I think, is very different than going around to studios and shopping your screenplays. And, in fact, when I first moved here, I did some of that, and I very quickly realized that it was not for me. And I was lucky enough that I could say, well, you know what, I'm just going to keep writing books.
And to be an Uber mom running her
yeah.
I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard that.
I was waiting, like, in the pitch black at a high school. My daughter's not in high school, but she had her all-star soccer practice in like 8 o'clock at night the other night, and I just thought, my Lord, I have become a soccer mom. Like, it's just, that is what I have ultimately become. So I did, you know, I mean, living in L.A., it's hard not to have some sense of the celebrity life. It's just everywhere. You know, like literally yesterday morning I took a walk and Arnold Schwarzenegger was like at the coffee place where I walked to. So I think there's just, it's always around you. You know, celebrities are at your school and at the gym. And my husband always jokes that he's on a nodding relationship with Luke Wilson because they're on the same gym schedule and they're just sort of like, hello. So it's just, it's pervasive here. So, that said, after a few drafts, these characters were still deeply unlikable. And I wasn't hitting the right notes that I needed to, I think, to humanize them. So, you know, I did reach out. I have some friends who are successful screenwriters. I have some friends who are working actors. And I was able to sit down with them. And what struck me was not anything that played a part in terms of the plot, but how normal, when you cut away the fame aspect of it, they are.
People are. That's right.
Yeah. You know, sort of like the Julia Roberts character in Notting Hill, just like, I'm just a girl standing here. And, you know, I was sitting there and just listening to people talk or texting with them, and they all have the same hiccups and issues. I mean, listen, their lives are, can, for the super famous, are a little bit different. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, they have to deal with the foibles of their children and the stressors of their lives and their relationships and, you know, bickering and all of that that we all have to deal with. So I think there is something very human, regardless of fame. And that's when I went back and redrafted the book yet again. That's when the book finally started working, when I made them, you know, more like we are.
So I have to share, Allison, my sister is married to Hercules from years ago, and they just produced a movie. She wrote the screenplay called Let There Be Light. It's been out for a little while.
Congratulations to them.
And I have a niece and two nephews, and everything that you're saying, I mean, she's my sister, you know.
Yes.
He's my brother-in-law. They're people. Mm-hmm. They're people who have a little bit of a gloss on them because of what they've done, you know, with their careers. It's a little different from my career. But
right.
But they're still people. You're so right.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's easy to see them through sort of the wrong lens. I mean, listen, we all, you know, we see gossip stories. We all read them to a certain extent or are aware of, like, Brad and Angelina or whatever it is. But I was really struck by the fact that, like, they're tired and they're cranky and, you know, whatever. They need to get their oil changed or whatever it is. Obviously, there are assistance and there are people there to help that some of the rest of us don't have, but just on a human level, exactly what you're saying, like, they feel the same things that we do, and they go through a lot of the same stuff that we do. And so when I say, you know, it's really a story about marriage, it is. It's the Hollywood angle is there, but people are people, you know, whether it's your brother-in-law and sister or, you know, whomever, Arnold Schwarzenegger getting coffee.
and of course, the story is fascinating. It is a story of sort of an up and down of their careers, which is also an aspect in everybody's life, because there are times in people's lives where one person is doing better than the other, or one person is doing perhaps something more exciting than the other. And so the story revolves around Ben being the screenwriter, and Tatum, who, of course, in the first chapter, we discover she's a would-be actress working in a bar, and and she has nowhere to go but up.
Right.
So how did the original idea come to you for this story?
Well, it's interesting. I was actually working on a different book in your nine books. I don't know how many you've thrown out along the way, but I was 100 pages into it, a different book, and Tatum was the lead character, but I really hated the book. I just, it wasn't what I really wanted to write.
Are you there? Oh, boy. Did we lose her?
We lost her.
Oh, we lost her. Okay, we're going to get her back in a minute, and meanwhile, do you want to go to commercial, Ed, for a minute, and we'll get her back on the phone? We have her emergency number. This happens sometimes. And we can't blame the snow here. We don't have any snow here. But we're going to... We felt like it. Didn't we feel like it?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I didn't. So cold. I didn't like... I don't like
28
this.
Degrees.
Are you originally from Florida?
No.
No.
No, I fled the north.
Yes. Where are you from?
New York City.
New York City. And I'm from Michigan. And I was born in a blizzard, and nobody would believe it today because I'm cold at 74 degrees.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Do some commercials? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought we'd do it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY. P-A-T-Z-I. Love a good book? Then the Book Swap of Carolwood is the place for you. They carry both new and used books. Looking for a cozy mystery, books for the kids, or a great thriller? They've got it all. So head over to the Book Swap of Carolwood, located at 11738 North Dale Mabry in Tampa. Valentine's Day is coming soon. Stop in and meet the friendly staff who will help you find the perfect gift. Remember, 11738 North Dale Mabry in Tampa. Book Swap of Carolwood has been part of the North Tampa community since 1984.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we had a little phone trouble there, but I am back with my guest in the studio, Joran Jenkins, and I'm not sure, but we're going to try to see if we have her back on. Okay, we have Allison.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Allison.
I was talking, and I had you on my landline.
We're happy to have you back.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So we have on the phone Allison Wynn Scotch, who has written a great book called Between Me and You. And, you know, Allison, I wanted to tell you that... I also, you know, loved your book, The Theory of Opposites.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Now, that was a fine book. And, you know, it's so funny at the time, because I know that you were in sort of the process of being typical, you know, published, yes. Traditional published, and then and self-publishing. And there was... around that same time, I was talking to another author, Denise Grover Swank. I don't know if you've ever read her. She's a romance author, and
no, I haven't.
She was faced with the situation of having six children to support, and decided she didn't have time to wait for, you know, query letters can take years. And so she had to publish. And so she just said, I'm going to publish. And I was so happy. I just spoke to her recently, and she hit the 2 million mark.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. Bravo to her.
Absolutely. And it wasn't easy. But she grabbed that, you know, the reins, and she said, I'm going to do it. And in really just like 6 years, she's now just past the 2 million.
That's incredible. Bravo to her. I mean, you know, one of the nice things about the internet and the world these days is that, I mean, I'm hesitant to say that anybody can self-publish because I think that she is a bit of an anomaly in her huge sales. But, you know, there are a lot of different paths that people can take to get their work out there. And, you know, what works for one author might not work for another. And, if you do your research, you can find maybe an option that's better for you than what other people have taken.
That's interesting. That's interesting because I think you're so right. My first book was traditional published, and it was Florida Motion Civil Practice, which was, as you can imagine, the title was boring. The book was and I suspect I have sold far more copies of From Rookie to Rainmaker, which is self-published, than I did of my traditionally published Florida Civil Motions Practice.
And you keep more of the money.
And I keep more of the money. That's right.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So my first book came out with HarperCollins, maybe like 11 years ago. I, like, honestly can't even remember. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting so old. But and the way that everything has changed is so dramatic and startling. And it was inconceivable, you know, 10, 11 years ago to self-publish, particularly after had a traditional deal. But things are changing, and, I mean, they're still moving, you know, at the speed of light before our eyes. So I can't even imagine what the landscape is going to look like in 10 years. I mean, I have a lot of love for traditionals. It's where I got my start. I mean, I'm back at a publisher now, but I did, I was so disenchanted with the process after my fourth book, that I just wanted to do something different. And, you know, I encourage people, if they think they can pull it off, to go for it. That said, I think you really need to treat it as a business. And I don't think that just, you know, slapping an unedited manuscript up on Amazon is the way to go.
No.
But if you can do it correctly, I mean, selling 2 million books is incredible. So,
well, and keep in mind, they're also the hybrid publishers, of which actually I am one. Since I started self-publishing, I decided to share the knowledge that I've gained, because as part of my shtick is I'm encouraging lawyers to publish. And so you can go to a hybrid publisher who you make a deal with them, and they do a lot of the work, but you do a lot of the work and you keep a lot more of the money.
Right. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, and to think, you know, a decade ago, that certainly wasn't an option.
Right.
So I don't know that there is one designated path for any writer. And, you know, it is disheartening in any context, you know, via any route, when you see a really wonderful book that doesn't get the attention it deserves. And, you know, one thing I've certainly learned, and that I tell new writers and I remind myself, is that sales are not a metric of quality. And I think, you know, it's important to remember that no matter how many books you've sold, it doesn't change what you put on the page. So, you know, I think particularly with traditionals, so much is out of your control. And one thing that I did really love with self-publishing is how much of it I got to do on my own. Like, every decision was mine. And I'm sure you guys agree. I mean, that's super liberating.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there are pros and cons to every single method.
Well, even the best-selling authors in this day and age, they have a very limited window of opportunity with the publisher. The publishers give you only so many weeks of, you know,
for
support.
Sure.
And then after that, sure. You're still on your own. So as you said, you have to approach it as a business. This is a business.
For sure.
And I know so many, it's hard because, you know, for creative people, you're in the zone, you know, when you're writing and you're so happy and
yeah.
you're just, you love the words and you're having this wonderful time. And then the day comes where you have to actually go out there and sell it. And that is hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. I mean, this is my seventh book. And I mean, again, you guys have multiples under your belt as well. I'm still not great at it in terms of, I'm good at the business side of it. I am not great at like asking people to buy my book. You know, I had the option of like going on tour and signing books. And I literally told my publisher, I hate making people come out and see me. I feel like it's like such a drag on them. I don't want to go to any
tours. Well, you know, I'll tell you a little story about that so that you realize the potential.
Okay.
I met a romance author. I met a romance author, and she was just starting. She, you know, was not doing that well. She was selling, you know, like 20 books a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, but she signed up for one of these book fest conventions, you know, where she took a table and she's just trying to sell her books. And most people sort of ignored her. She didn't, you know, she didn't have that much. And then a woman came along and wanted a selfie. And so, of course, she was happy to do a selfie. And the woman held up the book and they did a selfie. And she never thought anything about it again. It turned out that woman was in the military. She was on vacation here in Florida. And she went and put it on her Instagram, her Twitter, and all. And the next thing this romance author knows, all of her friends and all of the people that she sent it, you know, who were on her thing, in women in the military were suddenly buying her romance books. And in just a few months, she sold over 20,000 books from one selfie.
Wow.
First of all, that goes to show you that I shouldn't have said no to things. But second of all, like, you never know where.
Yeah.
You don't know. You never know.
You never know. And as a matter of fact, if I were you and I was in that area, I would go up to Arnold Schwarzenegger next time and say, "Gee, would you hold this book for a while?"
I know, right? And I feel like in LA there are lines that can't be crossed because we're all supposed to just live amongst ourselves.
Oh yeah, I know, I know. Yeah, but I wouldn't. I'd cross that line so fast.
I see him around all the time.
If you don't ask, like, you don't get.
Well, you never know. And like, I mean, one selfie with a military, you know, somebody who's a captain in the army goes out to all these women who are, you know, stationed all over the over the world.
I mean,
think of it.
I just said to somebody who sent me an email about the book and said she didn't tell her friends. I said, and this is the truth, word of mouth is king. And, you know, you can have a great publisher behind you, or you can have a self, you know, you could have self-published it. But what matters is that people read the book and love it and spread the word. You know, so.
And this is a worthy book. Your book here is, I think it's a compelling book. Between Me and You really does touch a very important subject, one that I think when people read it, they will have this new sort of this viewpoint. Well, yeah, there are both sides, and you can perhaps work things out and not land up working here with Joran Jenkins, who's going to get you in a divorce.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Because
I know. If only you got a hold of my characters.
No. Don't. You know, I do divorce work, but I have also saved marriages. I've had people come to me, and I've given them advice about what a divorce will look like for them, and I've also given them the names of some really fine marriage counselors. And I know of at least three marriages that I've saved, so I'm happy to say that.
Can you tell the difference of who's going to be able to salvage it when they come in?
No, absolutely not. What's really striking, though, is we're now doing this collaborative divorce where we have usually a facilitator and a financial neutral in the room, and they help the parties communicate, actually learn to communicate again. And so I've had people come out of their courtroom where we went to get them their divorce, but they were divorced collaboratively. And I had one woman put her arms around her ex-husband and say, you know, I'll always love you. And the rest of the team was just pretty much in tears. I mean, it was, you know, shocking. I had a guy come out of his divorce and give me in his debrief the feedback that he came out of his divorce a better person. So, you know, that's I mean, if they're going to get divorced, if there's too much water under that bridge, okay.
Yeah.
But let's try and make it a collaborative divorce where they can talk to each other and raise those kids together, even though they're not in the same house.
Yes. I mean, absolutely. That's the hope.
And I think reading your book, I think reading Between Me and You will open people's eyes. And I think you've done a great job with this book.
Thank you so much. I mean, listen, I've always been of the belief that people make mistakes and there's a lot of value in redemption. So
I have to ask, did you give up on the book that was not making you happy?
I did.
Yeah.
Totally. I think that you need to know. I mean, it's hard, you know. The writing of it, as I'm sure you know, is really hard in general. I mean, this book was, Between Me and You, was just absolutely gruesome to write. I had to throw out nearly the complete first draft and the complete second draft as well. But I liked it enough to keep going despite how hard it was.
Yeah.
The other book, I think you just know when you are not writing your best stuff. At least I do. I've stopped a few books along the way, and I've just, you know, you have an internal meter now to tell. And you've written 9. I am just not interested in writing something for the sake of writing it at this point in my career.
That's well said.
That's
very well said. I've thrown away so many short stories just because they weren't worth the writing. You know,
that's right.
I got it done, and I'm like, why? Nobody wants to read this. So,
but it's still a learning experience.
It is. Yeah, it's valuable.
Of course. It's just, you know, if you're not, again, having books behind us, I think that we can tell the difference. And I'm just not interested in doing something that's not my best work at this point. I mean, I don't know that I ever was, but I don't even know that I had the same gauge as I do now.
But once you finish a book or two, you know what your best work looks like.
That's true. That's true. And I did write a book that I still don't love, and I didn't love at the time it came out. And I felt like I knew it back then, too. So, there's just, you know, I'm in my 40s. Like, I'm really here to just reach my own hurdles at this point, so that's what I do.
Well, the wonderful thing about writing is that you can keep doing it forever. You know, it's just
that's true.
It's just so wonderful. It goes on and on, and you can change your style. You can change your whatever you might write a kid's book. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to David Baldacci, you know, of course, writes these wonderful political thrillers. And then at one point he just said, you know, I want to reach younger people. And so he started writing a fantasy series for YA. And he's done a terrific job. And he loves writing them. You're just a different type of thinking when he does it. And he loves it.
It's totally. Like speaking a different language.
It is. And I mean, I know a bunch of women friends who have gone from sort of book club fiction into YA, and they're thrilled with it. It's, I mean, and that's sort of the point. It's that the book that I threw out, it was just the same thing I've written a million times. Like, who wants to do that? Not me.
Yeah.
So,
you have to have passion. You have to have passion for the project.
That's right. That's right. 100%. So,
you have to get out there and sell Between Me and You. And of course you have a website, right? What's your website?
AllisonWynn.com. My maiden name. I never quite adjusted to, I mean, my byline.
Yeah.
you know, you cling to that maiden name. I don't know. So, and then I'm also, I'm pretty active on Twitter, so you can always find me there.
Okay. Well, we'll try to, I'll try to tweet too. I'm not really good at, you know, I have to, Gretchen, do you know Gretchen Rubin?
I don't know her personally, but I do know.
You know, she has this idea that you pick one word for the year to describe what you want your year to be. So,
yes. Oh, that's an interesting concept.
So I have taken Facebook as my word for the year because I really am not good at it. I'm just not good at it because I'm not real good at, you know, cat videos and all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my word, and I'm concentrating on Facebook this year. So,
well, you know what? I think that's smart. I think Facebook provides a whole different level of interaction. So, yeah, I, probably a little bit more personal
exactly.
than Twitter. So, I think that's not a bad strategy.
So, if you're going to pick a word for this year for yourself, for what would your word be?
That is such a huge question. I don't know. I feel like my word for this year might be something like calm or meditative. I have a teenager in my house. I have this book. I have a lot of sort of personal just family stuff that were like milestones that we are getting through. And I am trying to... And you know what? My word would be present. I am trying to be more present in everything I do, in communicating with him, in dealing with my work, in patience with family. I just think there's a lot of value in being focused in the moment and then being focused on the next thing.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good word. And I want to thank you so much, Allison, for being on today.
Oh, thank you it's both. Been... It was great speaking with you.
It was lovely to meet you.
All the legal books. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay. And I'll make sure that I'm going to tweet you too. Okay. And and get out there. And, you know,
I'm coming to New York next week to do media all week. So I can't say that I'm not doing anything. It's like the personal guilt of asking friends.
Okay. Well, have fun, okay? And keep warm when you get to New York. Okay.
Oh, I know. Great speaking with you
okay.
guys.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
Bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay. She's nice.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she is. And as I said, I really like the Audible version.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. For years, I was resistant to Audible books because I read books, and I have. Thousands and thousands of books.
And I like to hold the book.
And I love to hold the book. And I really, you know, I that will never change. But when Gentleman in Moscow came out, I got the Audible book for that. And I so fell in love. Well, I fell in love, actually, with the voice of the narrator,
mm-hmm.
Nicholas Guy Smith. And then I what I did is when I got the Audible, I got his picture up on the internet.
Yep.
And he's so gorgeous. And I'm combining in my mind, I have his voice and his face, and I have this beautiful book. And it was the combination. It was just overwhelming. And so every night, you know, half the time I was going to sleep with Nicholas' voice in my ear. And as a matter of fact, I so fell in love with him, I had him on the program.
Oh,
now, most people never, well, nobody ever interviews a narrator. And so he was so surprised when I called him up and said, you know, I'd like you to come on my program. And now this guy narrates big movies,
yeah.
major motion pictures. Yeah. I mean, he is called in Hollywood, he's called that voice. But, you know, his mother was so impressed when he was finally on radio. Well,
that's
doesn't
so
matter
fun.
That he narrates major motion pictures, but he's on the radio.
Yep.
That made him real.
Yeah, yeah.
So I loved it. It was wonderful.
Different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. Well, it's fun to be on the radio, and I am so glad that you came in today.
That was lots of fun, even despite the weather. Oh, my gosh, so cold. I don't think it's ever been 28 degrees in Tampa, Florida before.
It has. Do you know in Bel Air Bluffs, they had snow in 1927?
Wow.
1927.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
And whenever they say it breaks a record or something, there had to be a record, you know. So, you know, it's...
Well, that's true, and we've only kept records for so long.
So, you know, I would say that it has happened before, and it will happen again, but I will never complain again when it's 95 degrees. Never again.
No.
You know, during Hurricane Irma, we didn't have any AC. And it was like 99 degrees every day.
Yeah.
And my husband and my sister and we all thought we were, you know, so unfortunate. But I can tell you from now on, we will never complain. It's so much easier.
To deal with heat than with cold. Yeah, it really is.
And I wanted to say hi to my son up in Madison, Wisconsin. My goodness, it's warm for him today. He's got 12 degrees and he's very happy. He thinks that's great. After his first year in Madison, this is his second year. The first year in Madison, he discovered that snow is heavy. You know, for a Florida boy.
Did he have to do some shoveling?
Yeah, he had no concept.
That's funny. That,
you know, he took the shovel and then he comes, after he finished, he comes in and calls me. You know, Mom, snow is really very heavy. I said, yes.
That's hilarious.
That's true. Yeah. So special hello to him, a warm hugs, because I'm going to make him a batch of biscotti tomorrow and send up my monthly care package.
Okay, I'm jealous now.
that's what I do. I still do it, you know, I do it forever. So I love
you're
to
a mom
that.
Forever.
That's it. So, but I want to thank you so much. And so you're going to be promoting your, repeat again, the 5 P's so all of my listeners can remember them.
So the book is From Rookie to Rainmaker. The 5 P's are pitch, publish, present, profile, and partner. They're all explained very thoroughly in the book, obviously. And there's even a program in the book for your first year of marketing. Every step I lay out for you, what you need to do next. And then I teach the course. It's a 2-day workshop. I think the next time I'm teaching it is at the end of April in Tampa, Florida.
That's great.
Yeah. If you go to joranjenkins.com, which is almost up, we were talking about websites earlier. Yes. It'll be up in the next couple of days. joranjenkins.com. You can see the registration page there.
Okay. And just like radio, Joy on Paper's new website will be up. As a matter of fact, I have my teleconference with GoDaddy this afternoon so that they can say that everything's okay and I've got it all right, because it's very complicated, because there's going to be a lot of video. And one of the things, of course, I want to do is to bring everybody more marketing ideas. We have to get Joe Yazbek involved here and have him do
a little. And like I said, any professional can read this book and it will help them market.
Okay. Well, thank you again so much for coming in today. And remember, everybody, say something nice to somebody today and you'll feel better and they'll feel better. And I'm going to say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. And we overcame all of our problems. And he saluted me, and I salute him, because he is so wonderful, and I really appreciate it. Everybody, keep warm wherever you are. Bye-bye now.